teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Man, I remember exactly where I was whenever that was happening. I remember who I was with my friends. We're back at the student housing living. It was so much fun. It was dope. That is a 3-year anniversary of that block today. Patrick, go ahead. Just give us, you know, the first word. Tell us about that moment. You know, what it means for Bucks fans and, you know, how has that just changed this franchise as a whole?
Oh, man. I mean, pivotal game five. I think there's a stat in NBA Finals series where the series is tied 2-2 and the team that wins game five is like 70-something percent of the time they win the series. That was definitely like, you know, it was obviously the first lead in that series for the Bucks. Just one of the biggest plays, probably the biggest play maybe in franchise history. Giannis is definitely, has a career defining moment there. That's definitely one of the best. Like you said, like, yeah, I remember watching that game. I mean, it being over the summer, this late in the summer, it was just super unusual, obviously. After COVID. So we're in, you know, the middle of July and all that sort of stuff, but just one of those moments as Bucks fans and as people, you know, around the team, you just will never forget. And then plenty of moments from game six as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's just a moment as a basketball fan, as a sports fan, you know, that if you saw that, you know where you were, you know what was going on, because that's absolutely insane. The absolute athleticism, defensive versatility to track back and get that block on that lob attempt. That's crazy. You know what's I'm pretty sure that's not even the first time that he's done something like that, too. I'm pretty sure he's honestly done something very similar, too. I want to say the Heat. I feel like he did something kind of similar against Bam. Maybe I'm thinking of Bam on Jason Tatum. I don't know.
I think that was maybe Bam on Jason Tatum, but I don't know for sure. Yeah. But I will say that was the first time I've ever seen somebody like actually block.
An alley-oop.
Where it went into the guy's hands and he was about ready to dunk it instead of stopping the lob from hitting the guy.
Exactly. Hands.
I just never seen it. It was almost like a 2K animation or something like that. Like it was
the most
unrealistic thing ever.
It literally did like a 2K animation, and we're actually going to get into it. Speaking of 2K, we got the 2K25 Summer League recap getting, and we're going to get started to it. Y'all see what I did there, bro? What can I say? You know, but yeah, we got the Go Ahead Summer League recap. We got game one first, and we're going to go into game two. We got a lot of jam-packed stuff for you guys today. Thank you guys for showing so much love on the videos recently. This is the Believe in Bucks podcast, if I didn't say that already. My name is Luca Costa. That's the main host with the pretty face, Patrick Previty. But yeah, thank you guys for all the love in the recent videos. We really appreciate it. Keep interacting in the comments. Drop a like, subscribe. You know, stay for a while, you know, we got a long summer to go ahead, and we got a lot of summer league basketball to talk about. So it's going to be super exciting. So, Patrick, if you want to go ahead and get the first one on for game one, then I'll go ahead and run us through game two. You know, let's get right into it.
Yeah. So, well, right now we're 0-2. Obviously, we're filming this. We're recording this after we just took a major L to the Cavs. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day because none of these guys, well, let's say maybe like maximum five are going to be getting any sort of rotational minutes potentially on the Bucks.
I would say like max like three.
Max like rotational minutes, yeah, for sure. But I've been really impressed with a few of the guys, as most Bucks fans have been impressed with. But we'll get into the Cavs game. But the first game against the Bulls, I think everybody was waiting for Marjan to kind of show up, and they were saying like, this is kind of his moment to take over. And that's what we said prior to summer league starting. We said, look, if he's going into his third year, if he doesn't look like he doesn't belong in summer league, as in like he is too good for the rest of the guys out here, then we have a problem. Like we need to sound the alarms because at the end of the day, he might just be a G League guy. Like,
bro, Jaime Jaquez. If you guys saw the game yesterday in the G League, dude, he was having his way with everyone. So I just wanted to mention that. So that's the level that we're kind of looking at, you know?
Oh yeah, no, we're judging him by like a very high standard, you know, compared to like a lot of the other players playing in the summer league and even some of the second year guys too. So we expected a lot from him, and I honestly do believe through the first two games we've gotten enough. I've seen enough. I think he might end up shutting it down. I said, like, I don't know how many games he's going to play. If you had asked me after game one if he's going to play any more games, I probably would have said I don't know how many minutes he's going to play against the Cavs or what have you. But yeah, he played super well. So we could go over some of the stuff that he has had. He had 22 points in the first game against the Bulls and then 19 in game two. Both games, just overall, his shooting numbers, he's taken a lot of shots, been super aggressive.
Yeah, I was going to say 7 for 18 from the field, 2 for 7 from the three. So not really efficient, though, with the, at least in the first game.
He started well in the first half. I believe he had 16 points in the first half and then kind of just like cooled off a little bit. I think I'd have to recheck the numbers of the by the half. But when he's comfortable and he's taking his shots that he can hit, he looks really good. And I know this is going to sound obvious, but whenever he kind of scoots back and is shooting some of those threes, taking some of those more contested shots, you kind of see it. You kind of see that inexperience and it gets on top of him and he's not making them like whatsoever. You don't want him to take it, and he won't take it in the regular season. But for the most part, you kind of get that duality of summer league. He's the number one option. So the time, you know, it's going to be.
He's going to shoot that thing.
So yeah. Going ahead, we're going to see it because probably not going to see it again in the NBA for maybe ever or potentially a long time. But I think at the end of the day, I was really impressed. I think that I'd be okay with seeing him get rotational minutes after this. We'll see. You know, has a good training camp, everything like that. But
I mean,
this was really impressive. Best case scenario, I'd say.
I was gonna say like I think he played okay. The only thing I'm really like, what I'm really really iffy about is one. I do think he should be more efficient, especially that how long he's been in the league. You know, for the amount of time, obviously he's not getting these, you know, these everyday game in, game out minutes, you know, but I just feel like he's got to be, I just feel like a lot of times it really didn't seem like he was any type of leadership role there for those younger guys. It didn't seem like he really had any, it didn't really seem like he had it under control, to be honest. And I just feel like there was no poise. Like seriously, like I said, and I mentioned Jaime Jaquez, right? Because if you watch the Heat game against the Celtics, you saw how much he absolutely, because to be honest, if you ask me, Jaime shouldn't even be in the summer league this year. He was fourth in rookie of the year voting last year. He's already established himself as a go-ahead starter for the Miami Heat. I think he's only going to get better. I think his potential is really good. He's a guy that everyone would love to have on their team. But I don't know. I didn't really see that from Marshawn Beauchamp. I really didn't. I feel like Jaime Jaquez, he was getting his way offensively. Anything he wanted, he was getting. He was getting inside. He was getting the three-point shot. He was stopping for mid-range, popping, pulling, all this stuff. Defensively, he was absolute menace too. Which is already something that Marshawn Beauchamp wasn't really, he's not really the best at. He's not known for his defensive capabilities. So like, I think that in terms of like numbers, I think if Marshawn Beauchamp was a first year player that I had never seen play before, then yeah, I would have been extremely happy with him. I just feel like that there was a little bit more to be done from his part of his side of things, especially as a third year guy, you know, that was just my personal opinion. I feel like he just could have been a bit more, I don't know, a bit more assertive maybe.
I aligned with everything that you said. I mean, certainly, you know, when you compare him to a guy who was fourth in rookie of the year, probably shouldn't have been out there. I think he kind of puts his Marjon's performance in perspective. Where you're thinking,
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a third year guy. Didn't play as well as some of the guys that we see like already taken off a year under him and everything like that and experience. Mm-hmm. I could see that. I mean, it could be realistic. Like, yeah. Like if he as a third year guy, like this is the bare minimum. So we just know that he checked off this box.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right now. And that's fine. Is he going to replace AJ Green as like the other guard option alongside Damian Lillard? No, AJ Green, they assessed that this wasn't going to this wasn't necessary for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And Marjon was in more of a position where he was felt like obliged to join the team and, you know, wasn't going to say no or anything like that. So however, you know, it ends up getting picked and they assemble the roster, but I just think I'd say you just checked off boxes. I'm happy to see.
Absolutely.
I don't, and honestly, I don't really need to see too much more. I don't really need to see him on Tuesday night.
I totally agree. I think he checked off boxes, so I really don't think, maybe I'm being a little bit too hard on him, but I think it was good to also see Marshawn and AJ Johnson on the court together again. You know, there was a bunch of videos of them playing together before, you know, working out together, getting runs in. So it's good to see them waking up in chemistry, even though AJ Johnson didn't really play as good as we expect, as good as Marshawn, but we already knew what we were getting with him. He's a project player. He's a prospect. You know, he's going to be a work in progress type of thing. He's not going to be able, you know, to just play freely like he has been in the past. And on top of that, right, in the NBA, being a guard is in my opinion, well, not in my opinion, it's very, if you look at these rookie guards that come into the league, they take a little bit longer to develop and find their way and figure things out, especially when it comes to the little things, the intangibles, the pacing of the game, when to shoot, when not to shoot, when to dribble, when not to dribble, all those types of things. So, I mean, if you look at the box score, he didn't really play that good. He did end up with he ended up with 13 points on 5 for 15 shooting, 2 for 9 from the three-point line. But he did pick up 3 assists and 4 rebounds, which isn't horrible, you know, from this first-year guy. And I think that a lot of people – I think that, first of all, it's more than 2 points. So, like, we can stop posting the 2.9 points for the LOR Hawks thing. That's the first thing. So, yeah, people have been giving him such a hard time, especially just based off the stats and how it is, because a lot of people like to look at that stuff and just make a judgment. But no, I really do think that he was a little bit, you could tell, I thought you could tell he was a little nervous. Maybe not nervous is the word, but I thought you could tell that, you know, this is not something that he's used to doing. It was a little bit different. But I mean, I think it was still exciting to see him out there. And he's very crafty. He's very shifty. You know, he is absolutely no fear when it comes to dribbling the ball and taking on the defender, you know. But I think it really just comes down to him, you know, figuring out his shot, you know, getting to his spot. He was a little bit inconsistent, like we knew we were going to get into. That was in the scouting report. He could be a bit inconsistent at times, but I think this is one of those things where it's going to be growing pains. It's going to take time to figure it out. You know, the more time he gets under his feet, you know, I think he will end up, you know, developing and being someone that will be viable in this rotation. And who knows? Maybe he'll even be taking the spot of Marchand Beauchamp. Maybe they play together in the future. Who knows? We'll have to see. But yeah, I do think it was I think it was exciting to see him play. Really happy about that.
Yeah, so I'm not going to really, like, disagree too much again here, but I will just try to, like, bring the other perspective in. I actually was very impressed with the way that he played. I thought it was – and I think it was because my expectations were a lot lower. I think a lot of people were pleasantly surprised. But, yeah, on the scale of, like, whether or not he can contribute next season, I'm still saying it's been 2 games. And you know, realistically, like, we're only talking about game one right now. But, yeah, against the Cavs, we could get into that too. We can mention everybody's game today against the Cavs. He had 8 points. He wasn't really all that, like, aggressive. The offense wasn't centered around him. He only played 16 minutes in the game anyway. So who knows what he would have ended up with. But, you know, minus 25 plus minus. But who cares? Summer League. Mm-hmm. I don't care about plus minus. I don't care if we win these games. I like to, you know, win enough to have an extra game later down the line, you know, whenever it comes to that. But, I mean, that's no big deal. But from a box score standpoint, like, yeah, you're right. I feel like it doesn't show. But I also felt like he did play despite maybe some inefficient stretches. I felt like his time in Australia and, like, not playing college basketball, like, you could see that that was the route that he took, if that makes sense.
The way that he was playing,
he wasn't exactly like it wasn't like he went and played basketball for a year and didn't improve, if that makes sense. He went and played those old timey sets from the 90s in college basketball.
I was gonna say he didn't play systematic.
I feel like he looks like an NBA player. Like, I really do. And I don't know if he's going to end up being in the rotation. I'll lump him in there with Livingston, Ajax, Marjan, and those guys. But and even Tyler Smith, which we will definitely have to get into him as well. They're both pleasant surprises. But I don't know if he's going to be that. But I was actually very impressed with the way that he played. I just liked the way he was running up and down the court. Also felt like his defense wasn't that bad either. So.
Yeah,
I think initially people said, oh, he's going to have to go to the G League, like, immediately. Probably going to play some time in the G League. But I don't know how long he's going to stay down there, if I'm being
completely honest. Yeah, exactly.
I could see him at least being at the end of the bench and being an option, like a little like a spark plug kind of thing.
Yeah, microwave type of guy.
I think the Bucks made a decision on a guy that everybody else had a grade for him, like, to be a project, and I think that they think that they could speed this up a little quicker. And after first 2 games, I'm more on board with it, but especially after that first game, I was really...
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the way that he played against
Bulls. Nah, absolutely. And he's among good company. Like we said, he was in the draft room with Jalen Green, and we all know, you know, what the career that Jalen Green has had so far. He's only elevated, gotten better, you know, since he's been in the league with the Houston Rockets.
And he's cleaned up a lot of stuff from when he first started. Like, the Rockets kind of took a bit of a turn. So I think, like, good coaching, good guys around him. You can not fix some of these guys, but, you know, like, there's a plus to be free flowing, but you got to have. Like, just give them a little bit of structure. I think they'll really start to, like, blossom into very, very good players, fundamentally sound players at the very least.
No, absolutely. And like you just mentioned earlier, we're going to get into Tyrus Smith. We're going to get into a couple more things. But yeah, Tyrus Smith also was very interesting in the game. I'm going to lump these two players real quick together just because we actually got something really special for you guys. I know you guys, we actually haven't done it in a long time. So I know you guys are going to be excited and you're going to want to see this one. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we're going to talk about Tyrus Smith first. He was very impressive as well. I think his shooting stroke was very, very nice. I was super excited to see that, to be honest with you. I think that he's very comfortable shooting the ball for sure. I don't think he was afraid to pull that thing for sure. He was not afraid at all. 2 for 6 from the three though, 5 for 10 from the field. So he didn't score that much. 12.6 rebounds. But a couple things I was worried about. He was not very, I didn't see any hustle or any aggressiveness, you know, to grab the ball down on rebounds, to block shots, anything like that. He wasn't the rim protector that I really thought he was going to be. But then again, maybe we'll just see this just summer league. I guess, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I just think that Tyrus Smith, I just feel like that's something that I was really hoping for. I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, how he is on the defensive side of the ball. But you know, you can't have it all. And I'm going to real quick jump to a player, but then Patrick, you can go ahead and give your thoughts. I'm going to jump to a player who actually did surprise me, not surprise me, but a player who have been talking about, who we know is a monster. The defensive side of the ball, Andre Jackson Jr. That boy did exactly what he needed to do. He's coming for somebody's job. He is coming to take somebody's job on that Milwaukee Bucks roster because he was all over the place on the defensive end. He had active hands. He was super, super, super ferocious. So much tenacity. You could tell that he really wanted to be out there on the field, and he was really looking forward to showing himself and actually, you know, just looking at what he was capable of. But yeah, he was someone that we already know that has honestly been trying to make that push and really make that edge and jump into the rotation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that was just something that, you know, from the first game was super exciting to see from both of them. And the two of the guys that in the first game played absolutely that, you know, they were really Tyrus Smith. You know, I think it was pretty good to see that shooting form, but I was really more excited about Ajax, you know, just seeing that, like, He's proven himself. You know, it's coming to fruition. It's coming to light. So those are just two more players I was really excited about seeing in that first game.
I'm glad that you were very happy with Ajax's performance, because I got to be honest, his performance isn't like summer league eye popping or eye catching usually, because just the way that, you know, he plays isn't going to, you know, light up the stat sheet. Like, it's just hustle defense, you know, get some rebounds and just be out there, you know, upping the team's the team defense, and, you know, how they're playing on the court
in their grill.
So he's not gonna, like, score the ball a ton. Like, he didn't shoot much at all against the Cavs.
He only shot eight times against the Bulls. Yeah,
I think there's gonna be a game in this summer league where he does get more of an opportunity to just let it fly. Like, he'll shoot like maybe 11, 12 times or something like that, where you just really get, maybe you'll just get to see, like, oh, he's just gonna try his hand at, you know, getting some good run in at, like, being one of the top two or three options on the court. But, you know, we're not expecting that. And I was really impressed. And moving to Tyrus Smith, though, maybe the most surprising of the group, I think it was almost basically just felt inevitable. It was Marjon's career almost felt like it was on the line with the last two summer league games.
Right. You know, also, I love that you brought him up. He had four steals real quick. I just want to bring that up. Four steals in the game, which I did not know. So that's good. And the only two players, and the only starter with a positive plus minus was AJ Johnson. So +2. I was with a +4 off the bench. I just want to bring those things up real quick because I just saw them and I knew I was going to forget them. But go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, that's a great point, because I didn't even see that. I only have that. I have the Cavs one pulled up right now. But I was just really impressed. And I just think that Andre Jackson Jr., like, yeah, the four steals is going to, you know, catch your eye on the box score. But for the most part, like, his offensive game, you're not going to really be able to assess it because it's not his game. But we'll see what he can do. But Tyrus Smith, I thought of the young guys was probably the most surprising. I said AJ Johnson definitely surprised me. Like I had lower expectations for him, but I did expect Washington to play well. I expect DeAndre Jackson Jr. to play his game. And then we'll get into Chris Livingston, because he looks like he honed his game. And he's probably played the best of all of them, because I think he's shooting really efficiently. But I was just very happy to see that Tyler Smith could just, you know, he could shoot it. He could spread the floor. And it looked like he rolled his ankle at some point.
Yeah, I saw that.
Game. Or excuse me, in the third quarter of the first game. And I was just surprised that he continued to just play through it. We could see him out there. Team didn't like shut him down or anything like that. And I usually think that a second round pick on a team that's competing for a potential championship might not get a ton of run in the rotation. He might not next year, but I'm very much looking forward to both of the two guys. And I think that based off of what I've seen over the first couple games and how young these guys are, because they're both 19 years old, right? Mm-hmm. They're both, you know, like for a few years younger than the younger core that we have on the squad. I'm very excited to see the potential of both these guys, because what we initially thought was going to be kicking the ball down the road kind of scenario with our young draft picks this year. Now it's looking like, oh, these guys may be able to give us decent minutes at certain points in the regular season. I'm not going to say they're going to have a huge impact playoff wise, or, you know, ain't going to be the difference maker in a championship team, but hey, if you can go out there and play some defenses and threes, you can make, we've said this before, like you can make a name for yourself in this league. And I think both of those guys at least show that they can score a little bit and they can play pretty decent defense. And I was just very happy with both those draft picks, but obviously, like you said, Andre Jackson Jr., we were impressed. Like, as long as he cuts out the fouls.
Yeah,
like,
dude. Right.
Ridiculous. Like, though, I'm almost like a little too, like there were some points in the Pacers series where I'm just like,
getting hot.
Yo. Yeah. Because I was like, Andre Jackson Jr. is better than this. Like, he's a good defender, but he's not playing on national TV. Like he's some, you know, some sort of hack. Like, nah, like he's more disciplined. I know he's got to be more disciplined than this, but
no, absolutely. Yeah. Then,
but like, I just feel overreaction Sunday right now a little bit, but I just feel like the way that all the young guys are playing is just so impressive.
No, absolutely. And Andre Jackson Jr. definitely showed his athleticism, and that's exactly what our play of the game. Yes, I know you guys, Craig, you heard that right. Yes, play of the game's been a long time since we had one, but yes, of course, if you guys haven't seen it, you will see it right now. Andre Jackson Jr.
Bucks guard in this first half.
Full tip. Oh. Andre Jackson Jr.
Yeah, see that right there, that's what tenacity for rebounds looks like, and that's what we need from Tyler Smith. But yeah, Ajax with an absolute monster slam. But yeah, I just wanted to go ahead and show you guys that. Go ahead and bring back some for you guys, because we haven't had basketball in a while. But we're gonna go ahead and get into game two, Patrick, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's cool with me, bro. Going ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, as you guys saw, we got absolutely dog walked against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty bad. It was pretty gross. It wasn't really fun. But hey, you know, you can't win them all, I guess. We shot a whopping 30% from the 3-point line, 30% from the three, and 34% from the field. Yeah, I know, right? It was absolutely insane. Marshawn Bonechip with 19 points on 6-for-16 shooting, 3-for-8 from the three. He did have 11 rebounds, though. Chris Livingston with 17 points, 6-for-11 from the field on 3.5 from the three, 7 rebounds. Like you said, shooting very efficiently. So definitely love to see this. Like you said, and he has honed his game. But you know, other than that, to be honest, really wasn't much going on. Ty Washington got a bit of a run in, 2-for-8. Ajax with 5 points, 2-for-3 from the field. AJ Johnson with 8 points, 2-for-5 from the field. You know, Tyler Smith only didn't make a shot. You know, it was like we said, it wasn't much going on in that second game, you know. But hey, I mean, you can't win them all. It's only the two games in the summer league, you know. I guess we're really gonna see how these guys kind of, you know, gel together and then pan out, you know. But I mean, yeah, Patrick, do you have any anything on that game?
Yeah, so I don't know if I should say this necessarily.
But no, go ahead. Say what you mean.
I don't care if we win, and I don't think that that's like a hot take for Summer League, but I'm starting to care whenever I see everybody talking about how badly we lose. Like this past team didn't just lose to Orlando, who had like a master class with all of their young guys.
They
got wiped off the court. Winning doesn't matter. You want to stay competitive, you know, and all that sort of stuff in summer league, because you'd like to trot out a good team and feel happy about your young core players. But at the end of the day, you're trying to get run and you're trying to assess who can fill out the end of your bench and who is a good investment in the G League and beyond in the years to come. So I'm not exactly too worked up that we lost, but I think just for fans, if we go, you know, winless in the summer league, it's okay. And I don't really think too many fans are exactly sad about it, but saw some stuff on my timeline. It got, you know, caught my eye where I'm like, yeah
people well,
we might
crazy.
Not we might not win a game in summer league, but I don't care. I just care about as long as we know more about these young guys and who to move forward with next. And honestly, I think we are learning that. I mean, pretty much everything that happened in the Bulls game was pretty similar to what happened in the Cavs game. We just lost. We got plenty of guys got run in this game. I mean, did we play almost 15 guys in this
game? Yeah, dude. I'm not – yes, bro. Yes. Only a few people didn't play.
So. Devon AK was one of them. I think – I hope he'll play in the next game. I put him out because I just know, that was a notable player to be signed to the Bucks. Mm-hmm. He'll probably get some more run in the upcoming games. I don't know if it's going to be one of those who of the main guys is going to be, but one of them is going to get shut down. Also, I think it's hilarious. Just wanted to point this out because I know I'd forget. Tyler Smith on ESPN's box score has no – he doesn't have guard or forward or center.
Yeah, it's because unavailable.
NA, and I just think it's funny.
Yeah, I was literally looking.
Center Nick. Oh, yeah, I see it center now. Yeah, but I just think it's funny. I looked at it and I was like, is this a mistake? ESPN doesn't want to define him as anything.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, sorry. No, I was going to say, it was so confused because I saw the NA and I was like, I don't know if this is the real Tyler Smith or not. But now, whoever this R. Rollins guy is needs to stop shooting. Bro, 3-for-12, over 6 from 3 on 21 minutes. I don't know what he was doing. He was out there just running, bro. But, like you said, I really don't think it's something that we should all be worried about. We shouldn't get worked up about, oh, my God, we lost games in the summer league. No, the horror. It'll be all right. It will be fine, you know. Like you just said, it's all about getting runs. It's about these players getting games in under their feet. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's all about breaking in the shoes. So I think it'll really be exciting whenever these guys really come into fruition and we get to see these guys on the official stage in the NBA, you know. But, obviously, we want to see these guys compete. You know, and that's really all that matters. Like you said, it's not really about when you're losing. I just want to go out there and see them absolutely just play their best, play, do what they can, and just go out there and, you know, play the best of their ability. And it's really just about seeing what these guys have in their locker, you know. But, Patrick, do you have anything else to say?
Yeah, well, I was going to get to Chris Livingston, but I definitely want to apologize to Ryan Rollins. We don't mean that, but, yeah, he's definitely going to want to clean it up a little bit. He played some smaller minutes for us last year, but I wanted to mention Chris Livingston because I just feel like we didn't really get into it too much.
Yeah, you do want to mention that. Yes,
that's a player that I'm very, very interested in because I just think that he could, when Giannis went down and when Chris Middleton's on one leg, and if there is a Bobby Portis trade or like a Brook Lopez trade, and we are a little thinner in the front court. Ajax might be that guy to slide in, but
yeah. But even then, he's a little small. Just a little bit small.
Yeah. I like Chris Livingston. I think just the way that he's playing right now, it's just so impressive to me. And I just feel like he's really efficient. And I've just been more surprised with him. I'm most impressed by his game. It's been good. So I just wanted to mention that because I just feel like we didn't really jump right into it. We'll probably have to see more. I don't see him exactly shutting it down for the next game, but I could see potentially after that he might not get in as much run, but I think he could definitely, I could see him slotting in, especially if the rotation changes a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And efficiency is one of those most important things going into this NBA season. Last year, that's why the Thunder were so successful, because their big three was so efficient on the court. I think that's going to be it. That's going to be everything we have for today for this episode of the Believe in Books podcast. Thank you guys again for all the love on the channel recently. Really appreciate it. Tell your mom, tell your friends, tell your dog, tell your homies. Don't talk to everybody. Share the video, subscribe. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been Luca Costa. That's the main host of the Preface, Patrick Previty. Go Bucks. Peace out, guys.